Well, hello, radio friends. Once again, this is Minor Hawk, your voice of the gospel speaker, thanking God for the privilege and honor I have today of presenting a short message in the gospel of God's marvelous, matchless, sovereign electing grace. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father, we bow our hearts in thy presence today to thank thee afresh for thine unspeakable gift. We thank thee, O God, that thou hast expressed thy love towards mankind in sending forth thy Son, Lord Jesus Christ, down to this sin-cursed earth to die on the cross for our sin. We thank thee for all the value and the virtue of his shed blood, which alone cleanseth from sin. Honor afresh thy Son and thy word, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Now then, those of you who care to follow me in the scriptures, I'll be reading two separate portions from the Acts of the Apostles. The first is found in Acts chapter 24, and I'll begin reading at verse 24. Acts 24, verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. And the second portion in Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, and I'll begin reading at verse 27. Paul is speaking, and he says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Well, friends, today I'd like to bring to your attention two incidents revealed by the Holy Spirit of God, which show us not only the enmity of the human heart, but also its hardness. Yes, we've just read about two men who were privileged to hear the gospel of God's grace. Two men who were convicted by the Holy Spirit of God. Two men who were almost saved, but completely lost. And friends, I believe that God has left these two incidents on record so that we can know how close people can come to being saved and yet be eternally lost. Perhaps I'm speaking to someone out in Radio Land today, and you too have been under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. You too have spent restless nights tossing on your bed and unable to sleep because you were afraid of dying or because you realized that the Lord could come at any moment and you not being saved would be left behind for divine judgment. Well, friend, if you've been under conviction of sin in the past, then I trust that God's Spirit has not left you. You know, we read back in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3 where God says, My Spirit shall not always strive with man. No, God's Holy Spirit may plead with your soul today, my friend, but he may never plead with you again. And friend, what if God should take you at your word? When you say no to God, what if he should say, All right, I've given you another chance to accept my Son as your Savior, and you've refused my offer of salvation. I won't bother you anymore. I'm not going to force you to trust Christ as your Savior. I'll just stop my Holy Spirit from convicting you of your need for Christ. Then what, my friend? Where would your soul be when you die? That's right. Your soul would drop into hell, there to weep and wail throughout the countless ages of all eternity. So please, friend, while God's Holy Spirit strives for your soul, please give heed to God's word and give very serious thought to your soul's eternal destiny. Consider what it would mean to die unsaved. Yes, and some of you parents listening in who are yet unsaved, friend, do you realize that you are responsible in a measure for your unsaved children? Yes, if you don't get saved, the likelihood is they'll not be saved either. Friend, listen, this is a very serious moment in your life, whether you realize it or not. Well, now then, let's get back to our first text for today, Acts chapter 24, verses 24 and 25. And here we read of how the Apostle Paul is preaching the gospel to Governor Felix, and we're told that the Holy Spirit was having such an effect upon Felix that he actually trembled. He shook. Yes, he trembled. Friend, the power of God's Holy Spirit was so great that Governor Felix literally trembled at the thought of meeting God in all of his sin. Would that some of you who are listening in today would likewise respond to the preaching of the gospel. Unfortunately, some of you within the sound of my voice today are gospel hardened. You've heard the gospel hundreds of times. You could preach it as well as anyone else. But you yourself have never responded favorably to the pleadings of God's Holy Spirit. Sinner friend, you've been basking in the sunshine of God's grace for many, many years. And one of these days, perhaps today, you'll be cut down out of time, and off you'll go into eternity without a Savior. Yes, you may have been convicted of sin, all right, and you may have even trembled like Governor Felix, but that's as far as it went. You refused to take the simple step of faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. In other words, you're a procrastinator. You know within your heart that Jesus Christ was the Son of God who died on Calvary's cross. You know that you can't do a thing to save your own soul. You know that if you died right now, your soul would drop into hell. And yet you have the boldness to tell God, the Holy Spirit, either audibly or inaudibly, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee." Listen, friend, you may be like Governor Felix in our text. You may never have a more convenient time to get saved. Over in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, we're told, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Back in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, God says, "Come now," not tomorrow, "come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Ah, my friend, don't be foolish. Don't let the devil rob you of eternal life. Don't let him deprive you of fellowship with God and the glories of heaven. No, my friend, don't let the devil tell you that there's plenty of time to get saved. And remember, there are probably millions of souls down in hell right now who had expected to get saved someday. Someday. Sinner friend, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Yes, the road called someday leads to never, never land. Friend, as you listen to this message today in the comfort of your home or automobile, let me ask you, are you saved or are you lost? Are you a child of God or are you a child of wrath and disobedience, a child of the devil? Friend, are you on your way to heaven or are you still on the road to hell? Well, only you, God, and the devil know the answers to these questions. Salvation, my friend, is a very personal matter. We are all accountable to God as individuals. But, friend, I can tell you this much. If you've never been convicted of your need for a Savior, then you can't possibly be saved. No, if you've never realized that it was your sins that nailed the Lord Jesus Christ to the old rugged cross, then you're still in your sins, and you're only a heartbeat from the place of eternal torment. On the other hand, the mere fact that you have been convicted of sin doesn't necessarily mean that you're a Christian either. Oh, no. Conviction and conversion are not synonymous terms. They're not the same. True, there can be no conversion without conviction, but there can be conviction without conversion. That's what we have in our first text today. Governor Felix was convicted, but he was never converted. He wanted to pick his own time to get saved. Listen, friend, you'll either get saved in God's time or you'll not get saved at all. And that's the reason it's so foolish to keep putting it off. No, if the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your heart and soul today, please don't be like Governor Felix. And don't be like the Greeks that we read about over in Acts chapter 17 on Mars Hill. You know, they heard Paul preaching the gospel too. And we're told in Acts 17 and verse 32 that some of them mocked. Others said, "We will hear thee again of this matter." Well, friend, we never read where they ever heard the gospel again. In that same Acts chapter 17 and in verse 30 we read that God now, not tomorrow, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Yes, throughout the Word of God, the day of salvation is now. Never tomorrow or next month or next year. In Proverbs 27 and verse 1, God warns, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Now, in the time remaining, let's take a brief look at our second text for today. Here in Acts chapter 26, verses 27 to 29, We read of another person who was almost saved, but completely lost. Again, the Apostle Paul is preaching to another dignitary, this time King Agrippa. And again, the Holy Spirit of God is doing his work in the heart of the king. But what's the king's response? Almost. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Oh, how sad these words are. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Friend, is that the language of your heart today? Are you almost persuaded to trust Christ? Well, friend, if you are, remember, almost will not avail. Almost means but to fail. Sad, sad, your bitter wail, almost but lost. Well, friend, I'm here with the gospel of God's grace today. And it's my duty as a preacher of the gospel to warn you to flee from the wrath to come. Yes, with the help of God, I'm trying to persuade you to accept God's Son as your Savior while you still have a chance. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul said, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Sinner friend, are you going to be persuaded to accept Christ today? Or are you going to be like King Agrippa, almost persuaded? Well, the decision is entirely up to you. And whether you realize it or not, even now you are making your decision either for or against Jesus Christ. On one hand, you can have joy, peace, and eternal life just through simple faith in God's Son as your Savior. And yet on the other hand, if you reject the love and the mercy and the grace of God, you'll be banished from His presence forever. And that simply means hell and the lake of fire. Friend, why not come to Jesus Christ right now? Why not let my Savior become your Savior too? Friend, it's a question of acknowledging your need for a Savior. And friend, let me ask you, if you're not depending upon the blood of Jesus Christ and faith therein to take you into God's heaven, in what or in whom are you depending? Friend, there's no salvation for your soul apart from faith in the blood of Christ that cleanseth from all sin. So friend, I plead with you today, in view of eternity and in love for your soul, I plead with you to acknowledge that you're the sinner for whom Christ has died. Repent of your sin. Admit you can't do a thing to save your own soul and simply trust Christ as your Savior right now. Yes, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time. And thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Father in God, again we come into thy presence to ask thy blessing upon the word just gone forth. Save souls to his honor and glory alone. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. Until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.